Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I want to put the main focus in this hour on the US and US politics. We are a year away, just under, almost exactly a year, in fact, just under a year away from the US presidential elections, and things are really heating up. Donald Trump was in court today, which is all part of his electioneering, it would appear. He was warned to avoid political speeches and just answer the questions by the judge. He was giving evidence in his civil fraud trial while the judge was threatening to remove him from the courtroom. There were a series of rather tense exchanges with the legal team. Here's what Donald Trump had to say before going into court earlier.
This is really election interference and so on, and he says trial is ridiculous. The numbers are much greater than on the financial statement. And we've already proven that. They said Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million. Mar-a-Lago is worth anywhere from probably 50 to 100 times more than that. But we will go along, and we will hopefully do very well in every regard. We will win the election, and we'll make America great again. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make America great again. But we have to take away from the thugs that we deal with and the horrible people that actually must hate our country to do this. But we will we'll fight very hard for our country. Thank you very much, everybody.
So Donald Trump seizing the opportunity, really, to get a bit of electioneering in. And you've got to wonder whether all of this is really actually helping Donald Trump and his campaign, despite the goings-on in court. And he will also be pleased to see that polling is going very well. The latest set of polls in key states in the US put him ahead of Biden in those crucial states. So I'd like to ask you, do either of these US presidential candidates appeal to you? Do you think it matters to us here in the UK who might become what some people call the leader of the Western world? Do you think maybe the Democrats need to start thinking about dumping Joe Biden, who is perceived, whether you like him or not, he is perceived by many in the US, I would suggest, as just too old for the job? Equally, as you heard there, I think Donald Trump is pretty rambly and often doesn't make much sense. Are they really the best two they can come up with? And how representative is Trump, do you think, of a huge chunk of Americans, or is he, for them, Republicans, just the least worst of the two? What do you make of it all? 0345 6060 973. And who better to talk about all this but Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent, who joins us. Morning, Simon. Tell us what's been going on with Trump in court then.
Well, I know this will come as a shock to you, Clive, but Donald Trump decided to use his historic appearance on the witness stand, the first former president or sitting president of the United States ever to find himself testifying in his own defense at a criminal trial, to essentially engage in something of a political rally. And there were a series of very angry and combative exchanges between Donald Trump and the judge in the case, and between the judge and Donald Trump's lawyers, with the judge consistently attempting to get the former president to answer questions directly and concisely, to stop taking jabs at the Attorney General of New York State, Letitia James, who was sitting at the back of the courtroom. She, of course, brought this civil lawsuit against Donald Trump's business empire. He took jabs at her. He took jabs at the judge in the case on on his way into the court. He described this as political lawfare, a dirty tricks effort, he insisted, to derail his efforts to win back the keys to the Oval Office. On his way out of the courtroom, once his testimony was over, he absolutely insisted that this case is a disgrace. It should never have been brought. And he sent his lawyer, Alina Haber, out onto the steps of the courthouse, specifically seizing on a comment that the judge had made in frustration during the course of some of Donald Trump's testimony, and making the case that she says she's going to advance for a mistrial.
I'm not here to hear what he has to say. That was what rang true, loud, and could not have been more honest, coming from the judge who has already predetermined that my client committed fraud before we even walked into this courtroom. So let's be clear about why the judge said that. The judge doesn't like when President Trump explains what actually happened, because it's not good for his narrative. This is a judge who clearly has an issue. If you've seen his behavior with me, you've seen his behavior with the president today. He has a clear issue with facts that are not good for the case. This judge decided this case in liability before we walked up those stairs. I didn't have a shot. So right now we're sitting here doing a whole dance, and the only thing they want are facts that are bad for Trump.
Now, she's right about one thing there, Clive. The judge in the case did indeed rule that the Trump Organization had committed fraud even before this civil lawsuit on an array of broader charges got underway. And that's why Donald Trump not only rejected that ruling, but insisted, as Ms. Haber suggested there, that the fix is in. He also got to the stage during the course of his testimony today where he was actually trying to advance the argument that, if anything, the Trump Organization's accountants had undervalued, not overvalued, some of their assets. He insisted time and again that the trial is a disgrace. He told a prosecuting attorney that he should be ashamed to be in the position in which he found himself, questioning the former president today. And he insisted that while he had participated in valuations of some of his assets, that he didn't intervene directly in much of this work, leaving it to his accountants and financial advisors to make final decisions that were in the interests of the Trump Organization business. Remember that at stake here is the future of that organization, with the Attorney General in the state of New York seeking $250 million in damages from the Trump Organization, and also seeking to ban Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and Eric Trump, the president's second son, from ever doing business in the state again. But as much as that was on the former president's mind today, his mind was also very clearly focused on the political consequences of what was taking place inside that courtroom.
Well, quite. How is this all playing out with the US public then?
Well, the indications are at the moment that it is not damaging Donald Trump in any way, shape or form. And remember that this is just one of a variety of criminal procedures that the former president now faces in a variety of jurisdictions. He's been charged, of course, with making hush money payments to the adult film actress Stormy Daniels. He's been charged in connection with his alleged mishandling of classified documents after he left the White House, and, of course, in connection with his claims of election interference and the uprising on Capitol Hill on January the 6th of 2021. 91 separate criminal counts are facing the former president of the United States. And yet, 364 days from America's next presidential election, we are awash with polling data that suggests Donald Trump might win it. There was a poll published over the weekend, two polls, in fact, published over the weekend with 1 year to go until Election Day, showing that in key battleground states, those swing states that we talk about every 4 years, the states that sometimes vote Democratic, sometimes vote Republican, always decide the outcome outcome of the presidential race. Donald Trump is beating Joe Biden in five of those six states, and in some states way outside the margin of error. In Nevada, according to the New York Times poll, Trump is 10 points clear. In Georgia, 6 points clear. In Arizona and Michigan, 5 points clear of Biden. And in Pennsylvania, this one is within the margin of error, 4 points ahead of Joe Biden. And that is devastating for the Biden team. We've seen here in Washington, while the president was in court in New York today, more and more Democrats expressing concern about these polls. We've seen some Democrats breaking a bit of cover with the White House and very gingerly suggesting that Joe Biden should consider whether he really, really, really wants to run for re-election, or whether he shouldn't consider leaving at the end of one term in the White House and opening the race up to a competitive primary among his fellow Democrats for the party's presidential nomination. I mean, there are definitely Democrats here who are spooked by these polling numbers that they've seen over the course of the last 48 hours, and really on a continuing basis, astounded, as we all are, by the Teflon qualities of Donald Trump and his seeming ability to float above even 91 separate criminal indictments. You know, the New York Times has a headline in its current edition online. It says, Trump indictments haven't sunk his campaign, but a conviction might. I mean, we keep hearing time and again and again, well, there's been a set of circumstances and it hasn't derailed Donald Trump, but maybe the next set of circumstances will derail Donald Trump. And then the next set of circumstances arrives and it doesn't derail Donald Trump. Would a conviction of criminal charges derail him? Maybe, but that's a pretty thin hope for Democrats as they hurtle towards the primary season that will be getting underway here as soon as the Christmas and New Year holidays are over.
I can imagine that a lot of American voters will be looking at the two of them and possibly not being very enthusiastic about either, and thinking, actually, they're both really too old.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the idea that there are 300 million people living in this country and November of 2024 is going to be a rematch between the two elderly gentlemen, let's be frank, who ran for the presidency back in 2020 is an extraordinary outcome. I mean, all the more extraordinary given Donald Trump's staying power and the way in which he cemented his position seemingly in the race for the Republican Party's presidential nomination. At the moment, it's not really a race, is it? I mean, he's 40 to 50 points clear of his nearest rival among the Republican aspirants for the presidential nomination. Certainly, Joe Biden is in difficulty, and he's in difficulty with Democrats even before the crisis in the Middle East, which has further dented his standing and reputation. We saw protests here in Washington over the weekend by pro-Palestinian groups encircling the White House, referring to him as Genocide Joe, saying, we will vote you out. I mean, even before all that started, he was already in difficulty. The last Gallup survey showed that he'd lost the approval of 11% of Democrats in just 1 month. I think the next survey, when it comes out soon, is going to show a further diminution in support among Democrats. So there have already been Democrats craving the opportunity for a younger cadre of party members to run for the presidential nomination. And on the Republican side, you know, they're kind of frozen in aspic because the challengers to Trump, and they're already out there. You know, we saw Mike Pence drop out of the race, but Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is still in it. Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, is picking up some of the support that will no longer attach itself to Mike Pence. I mean, they're all challenged by needing to find language that appeals to Trump supporters without necessarily embracing the full package of Trump conspiracy theories. Because, you know, how do you appeal to Trump supporters, for example, if you don't believe that the outcome of the last presidential election was rigged, as Donald Trump falsely maintains? I mean, this has been problematic for all of these other challengers. And the time is beginning to run out. I mean, it's still a year away from Election Day, obviously a long time a lot can happen. But one of those challenges to Trump, if they're going to break through, has got to find the language or the strategy to appeal to Trump voters and somehow peel them away from him. And it's hard to see how that's going to happen. On the Democratic side, I think we're in for an interesting few weeks here, because we've got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up on November the 23rd here, Clive. It was over the Thanksgiving holiday last year that the Biden family, and it is a family decision, decided that Joe Biden should seek re-election. It's possible they're going to have a very, very different conversation over the Thanksgiving dinner table this year.
And if Trump were to get in for a second time, there's been a lot of talk about him wanting revenge, and maybe he would be going to court and getting his own back. Can you see that happening?
Oh, he's been absolutely explicit about it. I mean, he has said on numerous occasions on the campaign trail in the last few weeks, if Joe Biden can engage in the political persecution of his opponents as president, I guess I could do the same thing if I was president. And he's indicated absolutely that he wants to launch a criminal probe of what he maintains is the organized crime family that is the Biden family. Again, a claim made without any evidence to back it up whatsoever. But he's also making it known that he has plans that are being laid now by a committee of advisors to seek retribution against some of the people who served in his own inner circle in his first term in office and then turned against him. People like his former chief of staff, John Kelly, the former Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, one of his former lawyers, Ty Cobb. They are all said to be within the president's sights. And they're talking within the Trump inner circle about how you avoid what they perceive as the mistakes that Donald Trump made during his first term in office, his efforts to try and find ways of working with people. You remember former FBI Director James Comey, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, whom at the end of the day, Trump just decided were not in any way what the United States needed in those positions. How can you essentially do away with the independence of the Department of Justice? That is an active conversation in Trump world. And if we are sitting down in, 364 days time, embracing the possibility that Donald Trump has just won re-election to the White House, if those ideas are acted upon, they really threaten to derail what we have all known for the last 200 plus years as the checks and balances that lie at the heart of America's democracy.
Simon, thank you so much for joining us. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.